of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that we are truly loved by you, and we thank you for the shed blood of your Son on the cross. Lord, we give this time to you. We pray that you would open our eyes. Lord, that you would help us to set aside all those things that weigh us down on our minds, things that have happened this week, this month, this last year. Lord, help us to set those things aside, give them over to you, and we pray that you would truly open our ears to hear from you, open our eyes to see from you. Lord, I pray that you would speak to me as well as through me this morning, and we would put these things that we hear into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, it's good to be back with you after my 1 week hiatus. I hope you're all doing well. Everything going okay? All right, see some head nods. That's a good step, right direction. How many of you guys like to play video games? How many of you guys like to watch video games? How many of you guys don't care? All right, see, back in the day, I'm going to date myself here. I was a kid when the first, like, video game ever came out. You know what it was called? Pong, right? Pong. And you had, we'd be sitting at home, and we'd have this, like, you know, controller. You'd have two controllers, and you'd have a little ball. It was a ball. It was actually a white, like, dot. And it would go back and forth, and you would have, like, paddles on each side. They weren't really, like, paddles. They were just kind of like lines. And so you'd try to hit the dot with the line and go back and get it by the opening on the other guy. And what was really exciting, the one we had, you could actually play doubles. So you had two paddles on each side. And that was, like, so exciting. Okay. So it wasn't really exciting, but it was exciting back then for us. And then the games got more and more advanced. And I loved to play video games when it was you against somebody else, right? Because I'm a competitive kind of guy. Like, I'm like, come on, man. You sit there. I sit there. We battle it out. Whether it's football, basketball. You know, one of my favorite games was Mario Soccer with, like, Peach and all. You know what I'm talking about? That's, what do they call it? Is it Mario Soccer? Anyway, one of my favorite games, I play it with my kids. And then my kids hit an era with video games where I couldn't play anymore. Now, sometimes I couldn't play anymore because they wouldn't tell me about all the buttons, right? Did you ever do that as a kid? Don't tell your parent, like, what all the buttons do. And so, like, you crush your parent. That's what happened to me. And then they started playing games like Zelda. You guys heard of Zelda? Okay. Zelda's a game that kind of switched things for me because it was really only one person playing. And everybody else was watching. So I'd come into the room, and there would be my three daughters. One would be playing, jumping around, hopping, finding things, and the other two would be, like, staring at the screen. And I would sit there for, like, 5 seconds and go, this is it? And it'd be like, pretty much so. And I'm like, I'm out of here. You guys can keep playing the game. And they'd be going on for on and on and on. Now they have, like, Nintendo Switch where you play against everybody. But I guess I'm just too old for that. So take this story about video games and just stick it over here for right now. We're going to be in the book of James today, finishing up our series of overcoming the evil one. We're talking about a life submitted to God, a life submitted to God. It's found in the book of James. We actually alluded to this passage of scripture a few weeks ago. We're going to come back to it and look at it a different way. Now, the book of James was written by, historically, one of the brothers or half-brothers of Jesus Christ, James. And if you read the book of James, it starts out very, like, just kind of like, okay, I'll read the beginning. It says, James, a bondservant of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Speaking of the Jewish Christians who were scattered around. And this is, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that they produce faith. You've all heard that passage. And it's kind of like, my brother's this and my brother's that. In chapter 2, it also starts out saying, my brothers. And it talks about the tongue and getting to chapter 3 and all that kind of stuff. And then I don't know if James just had, like, a bad day or whatever, because he stopped saying my brothers in chapter 4, and he just goes right to the point. He's like, you know, I did this my brother's thing for a few chapters. Now we're going to speak about what we're going to talk about. And this is what he says. He says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, and you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people. Now I've highlighted the word that I thought was key there, and that was the word you. He's talking about you. He's talking about us. Us. You, 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 you. And the world would tell us that it's all about us. Everything is about us. It centers around us. We are our own God. We don't worship anybody else but ourselves. You know, I don't like to do anything that's like social media these days, right? Because it's always somebody against somebody else. Somebody will post something like a McDonald's worker will post how they were offended by a customer at the drive-thru. And then a customer will post how they were offended by the employee at the McDonald's. And it goes back and forth and back and forth because it's like, I am this. And I have so many followers. And I have a brand, and I got to do this, that, and the other thing. It's all about us. And that's what the world promotes. And it says here, a life submitted to God. I believe that we as human beings on this planet, it's not a life submitted to God. It's a life submitted to ourselves to fulfill our own pleasures. And if we're not careful, brothers and sisters in Christ, we can get sucked into this ourselves. We can get pulled into this. So James just goes right after it, man. He says, this is the way we are. This is who you are. On and on and on, you adulterous people. And then he goes on to say, as we continue in James chapter 4, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Wow. What do we try to do mainly as Christians? Can we just all get along? You know, it's all okay. And we try to even blend in with the world, don't we? We try to look like the world. We try to have what the world has. We don't want to make a stir at work and all those kind of things. I understand that. But James makes a divide, puts a wall up here and says, you're either friends with God or you're friends of this world. Friends of God or friends of the world? Think about that. That's a stark contrast. Who do we want to have as our friend? You know, so many times we can compromise and say, well, we want everyone to be our friend. We want everyone to like us. Now, I share Jesus on the college campuses all the time, and I like to have people like me. I don't water down the gospel, but I think you want to do it in a nice way, right? And I don't think there's a problem with that. But sometimes we just try to blend in with everyone else. And it says, or do you suppose that it is no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? God yearns. God yearns for the spirit that he's put in us to be more enlivened, to be more quickened for his purpose. That's what God has done. And it says he gives more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And this is the passage I want to focus on mostly today, is this, what it says in James 4, 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, so many times I think we as believers, we kind of kick back. And we think that once we become a Christian, we become kind of a milquetoast Christian. We just kind of laid back, and we just kind of have things happen, and we just kind of go along. But I look at these passages here, and look what it says here. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, the Christian faith is an active faith. The Christian faith is active, not passive. Those words that were in that, submit, resist, draw, cleanse, purify, are all active. They require you to take some action for them. And I think so many times we as believers in Christ, we just kind of say, well, you pray to receive Jesus, and now you just kind of float through life, wishing things would get better. Have you ever prayed these kind of prayers? Oh God, help me to live a godly life. Amen. Go to sleep. Oh God, fix this, whatever it is in my life. Take control of this problem. Help me out here. Or, oh God, take this sin away in my life. And we just kind of go like, well, you know, I gave it to God. So let me sit back and watch Zelda play itself out. I'm just going to watch, kick back, see how God works it out. I'm just going to live it, you know. And if I don't live a godly life, well, I guess it's just not God's will that I live a godly life, because, you know, the Bible says that all things work for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So it must be okay, because I'm not really active in this world. Oh, God, fix this in my life. God, fix my marriage. I'm waiting. Just, you know, you fix it. I'll kick back. Just let me stay on the sidelines. Or, God, take away the sin in my life, this thing that you may be struggling with, whatever that is. And you just kind of go, you know, I wish God would really take that away. And we just kind of like somehow wish it. We just kind of, it's just a dream it's going to happen when we say amen. And we may even throw in Jesus' name amen, right? Because we know Jesus' name, if we don't say in Jesus' name, it's not going to happen. But we say in Jesus' name, that's kind of like the magical words that make all things come true, like rubbing the magic lamp. And sometimes we come to God like the magic lamp. God, you know, just floating through life. I'm a Christian now, and you know, I don't know what else to do but pray, and I'm just going to hold on and just kind of hope and wish, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. No, the Christian life is an active life. It's an exciting life. We sang that song, Through the Storm. Through the Storm. You know, I've used to do a lot of sailing in my day when I lived up north, a lot of sailing, and you don't want to get caught out in a storm. But it's much more exciting to be sailing in rough weather than no weather, right? When there's no wind, man, you just like take a nap. You know, nothing's happening, man. It's just kind of, you know, the sail's going this way. The sun's beating down on you. You got no breeze. But it's nice when that wind picks up and like so, boom, and every hand on deck, man, you got to get the sails trimmed. You got to keep that boat going straight. Things are happening crazy. And yet I think sometimes we can relate that to our own lives with God. We think that once we become a Christian, we're just sitting in that boat, just kind of drifting along, going through the motions, going to church, doing all the right things. No, I want to tell you that the Christian life is way more exciting than that. The Christian life is exciting. The disciples had an exciting life. The Apostle Paul had an exciting life. Christians should have an exciting life in Jesus Christ because it involves work. Looking at this passage, submit yourselves to God, to submit. Submit. I looked up the synonyms for submit. Has some great ones in there. The best one I like is surrender. 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 And we kind of go, submit yourself to God. Just kind of submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. We just kind of go, la-di-da, you know, oh, I submit myself to God. God, I submit this to you. I'm resisting the devil in Jesus' name. And, you know, No. Submit. Submit. Active. Surrender to God. The Christian life is a submitted life to God. An ongoing submission of your daily, moment-by-moment life to God in everything you do, think, say, and everything else that goes on in that. It's not just a random one-time thing. It's ongoing, day-to-day. Everything we're about, we should be submitting our lives to God. And when we live a life that's submitted to God, then we can resist the devil. Because we're in total submission to God. We're totally surrendered to God, and we can use, and God can in and through us resist the devil. And we can have that power to resist the devil. See, if we try to live a half-submitted life to God and try to resist the devil, you know what happens? Nothing. All right? It's a very frustrating life. We've all been there, right? You submit, you resist, don't resist. You kind of go back and forth, and you back and forth. And there's times, man, you know, I'm like, I resisted, you know. And then I fall again. I'm like, oh, I'm such an idiot. How could I imagine that? We back and forth and back and forth. And it's a tough place to be, right? Nobody wants to be going back and forth and back and forth, kind of like that little ball bouncing between the little paddles. Doop, 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 doop. Satan's got his 1 minute, God's got his next, and all this kind of stuff. No, submitted life is ongoing every moment. You know, the Bible says, we looked about this further a few weeks ago, four weeks ago or so. It talks about that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Any wrestlers here? Sixto, were you a wrestler? No? You look like you could have been a wrestler. The Iron Sheik or something. I don't know. No. Like, you know, that wrestling. I wrestled in high school. And so this just happened this last week. So somehow at Florida Christian School, there was a pep rally. We're introducing our spring team. So I was up there introducing the track team. And they had like wrestling matches in between. Like the introduction of teams, you know, the head of school used to wrestle, and I guess people like to wrestle. And I thought it'd be really dumb, but it seemed like all the high schoolers were really into this thing. So they had these little like 3 minute matches going on. And so there's one match where this bigger guy is wrestling the smaller guy, and they're just kind of like not doing anything. And I'm just standing there watching, and I'm like, I'm getting in this match, man. So I just like jumped in there, and I tried to pull the big guy off the little guy, and then the ref pulled me off and threw me off, and so it was kind of entertaining. I mean, but people actually thought it was staged, but I'm just like, nah, I'm just going to make something happen here, right? So somehow, later on, because it's like a half-hour pep rally, they're like, hey, Bob, why don't you wrestle this other guy? I'm like, I don't want to wrestle that guy. He's a little guy and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm competitive, like with a little beep, beep, beep. And I used to wrestle, and they talked me into it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to wrestle this guy. So I have it on my phone. You can check it out later. But I wrestled this guy, and he was like, you know, he's maybe like 25 years old, a faculty guy. I sized him up, right? I knew I could take him, right? I knew it. So I never get involved in something I know I can't win. So anyway, I pinned him in like 20 seconds. I was just like, If this goes more than a half a minute, I'm going to die of a heart attack. So I just put him back. So, because I knew what I was doing. He didn't know what he was doing. But the whole idea about wrestling, see, this guy just gave me like just let up for a little bit. Just a moment, a fraction of a second. I saw it and just put him right on his back. And, you know, that's what it is to be a Christian, as we wrestle, as we submit our lives to God, and we resist. Resisting is active, and it's not a one-time thing. It's ongoing, constant resisting. And I want to let you know, the devil knows the front door to your house, not your physical house. Well, he probably knows that too, but the spiritual house, he knows the front door. The Bible says, a thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy it. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly, okay? The thief... If somebody were to break in my house, which I hope they don't, because I think I've done more of the right things than the wrong things, and I think my house is less breakable in, that's not a word, but you get the idea, than other houses. Like, I've got a couple dogs. I've got the glass, the hurricane glass, you know, nice and sturdy. And, you know, so I've got things like that. I've got different things around to kind of make sure. So when somebody comes up to the house, they hear, woo, 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 woo. They're going to go, I'm not going to that house. I'm going to go to the other house without dogs and without the hurricane glass, you know. So that's kind of, it's kind of survival of the fittest. It's like how fast you have to run when you're being chased by a bear, right? Faster than the slowest person. That's all you have to do. And in my neighborhood, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping they break into the neighbor's house, not my house. But see, in that same way, a thief, somebody who's going to break in your house, they're going to try the easy way first, if they're a smart thief. They're going to try the front door, maybe the back door. They're just going to try the easy way. They're going to come climbing through some window or down a chimney. Why would they do something like that when the front door is open? I used to watch the Three Stooges a lot, and it was always kind of funny. They'd be trying to get through the window. You know, Larry and Curly, Mo would try to get through the front window, and Curly would, like, come around, and he'd say, here, let me in, guys. I'll let you in, guys. He's like, what? I went through the front door, you know, and all this stuff like that. It's like the front door. See, Satan and his demons, of course, Satan, as we talked about, can only be one place in one time, and he probably doesn't have much time to mess with me. He's got other beings without bodies that can do that. But they know the front door of my house. And sometimes what we do is whatever that thing is, maybe it's a weakness, anxiety, maybe it's a sin, whatever it is, whatever the thing that is really tied us down, they go to the front door every time. They go, huh, I wonder if Bob's front door is still open. Yeah, look at that. We're going the same way. Boy, he was experiencing joy and peace and excitement at church today. Let's go in the front door. Wreak havoc. And then what do? Man, came in the front door again. I'm going to lock the front door. Click. So, come around once again. Great day. Everything's going good. They come up to my front door. It looks like he's locked the front door. And then it pops open. Like, nope, only temporary. You know, we're in front door. Because what do? I don't continue to resist. I don't continue to resist. And so the door is open. And until I lock that door, the same entry point is going to continue to happen in my life. So I have to lock that door. And again, it's with the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus that I can actually do that, because the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But we have to understand that resisting is ongoing. So we have to lock the front door. And when that door is finally locked, we have to lock the back door and the windows and all kinds of things, because it's resisting. But it first comes with submitting. Submit yourselves to God. Everything we do, say, think, we need to fall under the surrender of God. Fall under the submission of God and say, God, this is my life. And it's a big thing, because typically when we think we've got it figured out, God's Holy Spirit speaks to us about something else, right? Somebody who may have been a murderer, a criminal, and stuff like that, they come to Jesus and go like, praise God, I haven't killed anybody lately, right? And then as time goes on, God will be like, hey, Bob, you know, I know you haven't killed anybody lately, but you got to stop stealing. Stealing. Stealing, really? I can't steal? Yeah, you can't steal. So I'm not murdering. I'm not stealing anymore. Then it's like, hey, Bob, great. You're not murdering. You're not stealing. But what about that anger you have towards somebody else? Oh, come on. God, I got the murder and stealing. What is anger? You know, and we got all these different things that God, as believers in Christ, he should be working on us ongoing and helping us to examine our lives and seeing those things, so we live under a totally submissive life to God. And when we're submissive, when we're surrendered to him, then we can jump into the fray. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God. Things that we need to do to draw near to God. If you want to draw near to somebody in a relationship, you spend time with them. Draw near to God. Spend time with God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, we're all, and this is James, man. He's like hitting us hard, right? And he says, you double-minded. We all tend to be a little double-minded. But it's that whole idea of fixing our eyes on the Lord, surrendering ourselves to him so we can resist. The Christian life is not meant to be Zelda. It's meant to be engaging, interactive, and it's meant to be that struggle. And before you say, you know, struggle, who wants a struggle? I don't want to struggle. But you know, it's okay because God is with us. And one day we'll have a new hope and new glory when we're with him. But while we're on this earth, we will have struggles. As Jesus told his disciples before he ascended up into heaven, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And the victorious life is seeing how God can in and through you overcome the world. That the things the way you used to be have now changed into a new life. The old has passed away and all things become new. If you've heard me speak here at all, you know I've said this in the past, that so many times Christians put our identity in what they used to be. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you were a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. Now you're saved by grace. Now you're called to walk in a newness of life. And it's that attitude, that mindset where we go, I am not this. I am not a sinner saved by grace. No, yes, that's what I was. I was a sinner. Now I'm saved by grace. And now I can walk in that newness of life as I submit to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. It's kind of like the promise is there. The devil will flee. But what's the premise? What do you have to do before that? Submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. If you don't submit to God, if you don't resist the devil, which are both active, the devil will not flee. But if we do submit to God and we do resist the devil, he will flee. And again, when I say the devil, you know, just that the evil forces that are in the world. Everything that goes along with that, the world, everything the world looks at itself, and the evil forces of the unseen beings. So understand that the Christian walk is an active, ongoing walk. When we pray actively. We have to understand that. When I walk my dogs, I'm praying actively. I'm looking at how God wants to use me. I'll kind of divert just for a little bit because it just popped into my head. So one of the guys who used to be in our ministry years ago, I don't know if you remember Irene. I think she was before your time in Waves. I'm looking at Crystal over here because she was in our ministry at Miami-Dade College. There was a girl by the name of Irene. She met a guy named MacDill. MacDill actually got saved in Waves, and this is maybe like 10 years ago or something like that. So, you know, kids graduate, you kind of lose track of them. So I'm walking my dogs, and I have maybe about 5 or 6 different routes that I walk my dogs through. So I happen to go down this one street that I go down maybe once every 5 times. And I go down the street, and like 3 houses down, I'm walking by, and this guy yells out to me. He says, "Hey, Bob, is that you?" And I'm like, "MacDill, how you doing?" And we get caught up and everything like that. And he said, this is what he said. He said, long story short, he says, "You know what? I was just praying. I was feeling discouraged and beat up." And he's telling me how he has extra pressure. He's in construction now. He was doing a porch. And Irene has 2 twin girls, and they're 4 months old. And now he's got a financially and all this kind of just stuff, right? And so he says, "I was praying for encouragement. And here you come around the corner." Like just that right timing. I could have missed him. He could have left early. I could have turned down another street. But God wanted me to encourage him right there. And I was encouraged too. But see, that's how God wants to use us, like all the time. God, you know, how can I be that encouragement to somebody? How can I do this? And just that ongoing Christian life. And the world would try to tell us, Christian life's not exciting. What do? You get dressed up for church. You do that stuff, and then you go, no, the Christian life is exciting. Submit, resist, cleanse, purify. That's the Christian life. And God can make our lives exciting. Exciting, not just watching Zelda. The Christian life is an active life, not a passive life. Understanding that when we wrestle against the devil, that is active, ongoing. And it may seem like it's tiring. It is tiring, but it's exciting. It's invigorating because it's beyond what we see with our own eyes. It's interplanetary. It's universal. All around, God is like doing this stuff. The uncreated creator who created all things is actually moving and doing things in your life. And that's exciting. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says this. And this is how overcoming you get a life submitted. It says, you know, some people go like, oh, God, give me the strength, give me the power. And this is what God says. I've already given it to you. Because you're a Christian, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his glory and excellence, by which he has granted us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers in the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. What does this say in 2 Peter? That we've escaped. We have passed, escaped the things that are of this world. So when we go like, oh God, help me, God's like, I already have. It's who you are in Christ now. This is who you are. Of course, most of us, if we've been a believer for any length of time, we know 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. So we go to God, oh God, take care of this. I can't. And God's like, no, it's here. Believe it. It's here. This is active. Don't sit back and go, oh, what can I do? The force. No, go, God has given me this. God has given me this. And that's what makes the Christian life exciting. And that's what it's all about. Christ came to give us life, right? And to give us life more abundantly. And we're not talking about stuff, but we're talking about hope, joy, victory, peace, in all these things that would weigh us down. And we will get beat up. We won't be able to fully live the life on this earth that God wants us to live and to impact people the way God wants us to live if we're not submitting our lives to the Lord and resisting the devil. Those things, again, are ongoing every day. Put on the full armor of God, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I want to encourage you. You may be in a situation right now where it feels like you're wrestling against flesh and blood. I've got a couple of them right now. I could share with you right now, but it wouldn't be right, because my side would be right and the other person would be wrong. Of course, that's probably not right. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, probably not. Probably somewhere in the middle is truth there. But I could share with you, it's happening. But, the Bible says if we live a submitted life to God and resist the devil, he will flee. Hallelujah. Praise God. You as a believer in Christ have that hope. The rest of the world without Jesus has no hope of that. No hope. Downtrodden, beat up. They have no hope. But we as believers in Christ, we have that divine privilege that if we submit ourselves fully to God and resist the devil in the power and might of Jesus and through his blood, the devil will flee from us. So overcoming the evil one, live a submitted life to our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you love us and that you encourage us. You give us your word that clearly outlines these things. And Lord, help us to not just hear your words today. Help us to walk these things out. Help me to walk these things out that I've spoken in my own life, Father. And Lord, as we pray that you would encourage and strengthen us to be able to be submitted to you. Lord, help us to examine our lives to see where, even when we have this song of invitation, to just spend some time with you. And show us where we're not fully submitted to you, where we fully haven't surrendered to you. Lord, help us to be fully surrendered to you so we can fully resist the devil and he will flee. And we just thank you for bringing us together here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.